then ask for help because help is available. And so the more that we talk, and parents in particular aware that this is actually a concern, and if their child is struggling, they're not alone, the more we make them aware of it, the more likely they are to seek help. And that's what we want, is for people to seek help when they need it. So on our social media, we talk about these kinds of issues. We have interviews with people who have come in and talked about how they were feeling before they started, and then getting under care and how they're doing afterwards, so they can see the potential for.
Awekenge, this is Mental Matters, hosted by Asako Toto.
Why did you become a chiropractor, practitioner?
Actually, yeah, it's pediatric and perinatal neurological practitioner.
So it's chiropractic, pediatric, and prenatal chiropractic.
Yeah.
And the reason I got into chiropractic is kind of a roundabout sort of way. I was a stay-at-home mom for 18 years, but when my oldest child turned 18, he was electrocuted in a fluke work accident. And it took us, we didn't think he was injured initially. I mean, he went to the hospital and he had some heart issues from it, but the doctors tested him and said he was fine, just go home, he's fine. But he wasn't fine. And over the next 18 months, his health deteriorated dramatically. So he had been a varsity athlete, he was in tip-top shape, and all of a sudden he couldn't walk a mile, he couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. But doctors kept denying that there was anything wrong. And so, you know, 18 months later, we finally got a diagnosis of a traumatic brain injury. Apparently, most people who go through what he went through don't survive. And so they didn't have very many patients to go back and say, well, this works or this doesn't. So we started on him, you know, a whole new realm of doctors that could work with traumatic brain injury. And over the next 9 years, his health just went downhill and downhill to the point that he was no longer able to function in society very well. He was having sensory processing issues. He was having pseudo seizures. He lost cognitive ability. He lost physical ability. And so he was kind of living at home on the couch doing nothing. And we took him to the best of the best doctors across the country. And ultimately every doctor washed his hand until a year later, he was able to reach his goal of running a mile. When he started, he could walk half a mile in 30 minutes, very slowly. A year later, he ran his mile in under 6 minutes. But then it took him two or three months to recover and another 3 years of diligent work before he could say he's finally fully recovered. And so my journey to becoming a chiropractor was all about taking care of my son. And when he's ultimately well, I don't need to take care of him anymore. So I have turned my care to helping other neurodivergent children and adults. So I work with a lot of children who have different neurological issues like anxiety, depression, autism, sensory processing issue, ADHD, all those sorts of things. And the big thing, the reason I wanted to speak to you about mental health is because so many people today, especially post-COVID, where with all the shutdowns and lockdowns, everything that happened, we've got many, many young people today that are suffering from terrible depression and anxiety as they're moving back into society and they're just struggling. And so I work with them to help them overcome those issues.
Going back that you mentioned the fact that you sold your house and moved from where you were staying currently when this incident happened. What hope did you have in mind, the thing that you could, in terms of selling everything and in a way, I would say, starting over? What was your motivation?
So my motivation was go to chiropractic college. There was no chiropractic college near me. I lived in Detroit, Michigan at the time, and I moved across the country to Marietta, Georgia, where they have one of the biggest and best chiropractic colleges in the country. And I liked their philosophy. I liked what they were teaching. I believed that by studying and becoming a chiropractor, I would be able to assist him to improve his health. I believe that through chiropractic, we could help the brain rewire itself so that it could heal from the injuries that it had. And that's exactly what I did. But I believed that moving from Detroit, where there was no chiropractic college, across to Georgia would be the solution to get me the education to be able to help him.
Going forward, you mentioned the anxiety, autism, depression, ADHD. I feel, let me just summarize it all up. Mental health is something that people are, I would say, are afraid to talk about, because I have this thing of thinking that I would say that people are afraid to be judged when you talk about mental health. You are afraid people won't agree with you. Wait, for example, on my case, I've been creating more awareness about mental health since before, actually, during COVID-19, because I started the podcast when COVID-19 started, which was 2020. So I started and tried to...
Very front part of our brain. That's the part of our brain that makes us human. It's what gives us emotion. It's what helps us to regulate our emotions. And when we put that thrust in and we create that input to the prefrontal cortex, the cortex then wakes up, because it's what makes us human. And so those human emotions, human feelings, the ability to have thought processes and rationality all comes from that prefrontal cortex. So when we make that adjustment and we start waking up that part of the brain, now we see that people are better able to make rational decisions and look at the world, not from a woe is me, oh my gosh, I'm hurting place, but what is actually reality. And so they begin to open up, they begin to have a more positive attitude, a more positive view of themselves. And that just starts them on a path of mental health, good mental health and healing.
You mentioned the thing of helping these people to in a way, be more adaptive in when it comes to society. And I believe that one of the things, the reason why I'm raising this up is the fact that people are unaware. For example, here in South Africa, people are not aware of ADHD and autism. One of the things that people don't realize how much people, let me rephrase that question. At first, I didn't know that mental health was part or it was sometimes with disability, firstly. Now, I work in a department here at Nelson Mandela University. I work at a department of where we disability unit, where we deal with helping students who have disabilities to live their best life and not have that stigma that I have a disability, and people will treat me different. So we try to motivate that thing of inclusivity and equity. So when it comes to mental health, how do you in a way promote mental health, and how do you break the stigma around mental health?
So that's a really good question. And I appreciate you asking that, because one of the things, and I don't know how it is in South Africa versus here in the United States, mental health is becoming a more open issue, where so often people want to present the best side of themselves. And so they don't ever want to be seen in any way as less than perfect. And so they don't want to share their negativity or their feelings of inferiority or those sorts of things. It's becoming more acceptable in our society to talk about that here. And more people are saying, hey, I need help, which is a really good thing. And that's one of the things that we want to promote, is if you're not feeling the best, if you think you could be feeling better, if there's negativity around you, then ask for help, because help is available. And so the more that we talk, and parents in particular aware that this is actually a concern, and if their child is struggling, they're not alone, the more we make them aware of it, the more likely they are to seek help. And that's what we want, is for people to seek help when they need it. So on our social media, we talk about these kinds of issues. We have interviews with people who have come in and talked about how they were feeling before they started, and then getting under care and how they're doing afterwards, so they can see the potential for progress. Now they're saying, okay, this is me now. I'm not feeling very well, but with that kind of care, maybe I can get to the other side of this. The more we talk about it, the more we make people aware of it, the more people will seek help. And that's what we're looking for.
And I won't disagree with you with that, the fact that in America, I've seen that this thing of mental health, it is something that I would say it's a trend or it's popular and people are taking more care of themselves. Yesterday, I was listening to a podcast by Walsh, I don't know if you know him, and Dr. Peters. Yeah, when they were discussing, is it with the myth around mental health? So where he said that going to therapy is, I am paraphrasing here. If therapy is something that is a waste of money, whereas if it was possible that a therapist could give you the answer of what you're going through, and they will be out of jobs. So what is your take on therapy and young people? Would you say that you encourage young people to go to therapy?
I think that there's a place for it, and it really depends on what type of therapy it is. So my thought on this, as I have watched young people, is that our medical world, the psychiatric world, looks a lot of times at the mental health of people as what's the chemical imbalance in the brain. And I agree that there are times when there's a chemical imbalance. And so they want to use medication to balance that, the chemicals. The problem is the brain itself is what controls the chemicals. And if we just mask those symptoms by giving different chemicals through the medications, pharmaceuticals, whatever they're taking, all you're doing is masking the symptoms, but you're changing the chemistry, and that causes many side effects. What we know and what our experience is through the research that's been done and through, you know, clinical experience, is that going to therapy can be a good place to start, because it talks about what is the root cause of why you're feeling how you're feeling. But if that therapy keeps you in that root cause of this is how I feel, this is where I am, it's this dread, it's this negativity, if that therapy doesn't take you to a positive, appropriate, natural healing of our brain and nervous system, instead of chemically inducing it through the use of pharmaceuticals. So we need that positive, the therapy is good to start to identify the root cause. It needs to move into a positive place, not stay in the negative. But the chiropractic is what works to change the actual wiring of the brain to turn on the prefrontal cortex that helps us make that move toward really actually feeling emotionally better than we were before, and being able to move past that place of self-centeredness of being stuck in woe is me, I don't feel good.
You mentioned about positive, thinking positive and negative. As a young person myself, there were times that I felt like not doing something, no matter how many motivations I listened to, I watched, nothing happened. So as much as one might try to motivate, I have to say that, that is depressed and anxious about certain things, for example, being anxious about the future. For example, recently I was worried about my future as someone who is getting older and older day year by year. So how do you really convince someone that is depressed? And as a professional, you definitely know when a young people when they are depressed, they think a lot of things, and sometimes people misunderstand us when we say we are depressed. So how do you motivate that certain person that it's all right, it's okay not to be okay?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. One of the ways that I would answer that is there's twofold things. Positive affirmations. I had somebody ask me one day, why do you say positive affirmations and not just affirmations? The reality is there are negative affirmations and positive affirmations. If you are a person who's depressed and you're thinking, I'm just so sad, I don't have any friends, I don't have a future, I don't see anything positive, I can't pass this class, whatever it is, and you keep dwelling on your fear, you are giving yourself negative affirmations, affirming negatively who you are. So the positive affirmations do the opposite of that. I'm great. I can pass this class. I'm getting better and better every day. I have a great deal of friends. I'm a good person. All of these things are positive affirmations that help you think in higher, better places, right? But the way that that's actually going to manifest itself is when you actually start moving your body. Our bodies are designed to be in movement, not to be sedentary. That's one of the hardest steps that a person that's struggling with depression is ever going to have to take, is get off the couch and get up and move. So what we really try and encourage is just go outside, get some sunshine, and go for a walk. You will automatically feel better if you start moving. So getting up and actually moving, whether it's a walk or a jog or a bike ride or go to the beach or something where you don't sit at home, but you get out. That's the first biggest step that you can take, because our bodies really do need movement. We get that movement, it creates neurological impulse into the brain. We start making positive changes. The second thing I would say is that doing something for someone else instead of focusing on yourself. How can you help someone else be happy or do a service or something of that nature? Because when people start doing for someone else, they begin to feel better about themselves. And those two things, along with the chiropractic care, I think, are the biggest things that we can do to help young people. Now, the question becomes, as you just asked, is how do you motivate them to get off the couch? And that's a difficult thing to do sometimes, but it's really, you know, I think sometimes it's getting the assistance of a loved one or a friend to say, hey, come on, we're going to go do this. Come for a walk with me. So sometimes they need that assistance. But if someone is really motivated, that they're, even if they're stuck in a depression and they're motivated to get out of it, that's not where they want to be, starting with movement would really make a difference.
True. You mentioned something where, as you said, the important thing is that first step. And going back to Dr. Peterson, where he said that they're making your bed an analogy, because I believe the thing that he pushes, the fact that no matter how much are you depressed, once you make your own your bed, you will feel much better. That's why I love making you in the first step, because in everything that we do, once we make that first step, we definitely bound to make a change in our lives. We are bound, no matter how much depressed or anxious you were about that certain thing, you're going to try to pursue it. Even though you might fail, but that failure won't be for nothing. It would mean that you did that certain thing with courage. And I feel like, in a way, on my case, when I feel like that, I feel like, though, I did something. I did something productive today. So one of the things that the first step is very important. And also, you mentioned the fact that having a loved one. And one thing that I've realized as young people, when we are isolated and our friends say, no, let's go do this thing, we will feel like we are included in some way. We are included and we are not left behind, no matter how much sad we feel. When we have that circle of friends that we trust and love, we definitely will feel bad.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I think this question I meant to ask in the beginning. So, in what way do you give your clients the support?
How do I support my clients?
Yes.
Of course, there's a couple of things that we do. First of all, they are always welcome here, and we are here for them whenever they need us, right? Mm-hmm. And we do the chiropractic adjustments that are giving that input to the prefrontal cortex and helping their brains to rewire and become more stable, right? And to become mm-hmm. positive, so that they can regulate their emotions better themselves. We also do something a little bit different than a lot of chiropractic practices around us, is that we are very, we're believers here, Christians. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know whether your listeners are going to be able to see me or not, but behind me on the wall, we have a prayer tree that my son made. It's a tree made out of wire that hangs on the wall. And every patient and parent and anybody who wants to really is welcome to write a prayer request on a piece of paper that we then fold into a butterfly and hang it on the tree. And every morning, my staff and I, we pray over all of the prayer requests. Now, we don't know what's written on there. We tell our patients, this is between you and you know, God, and that's fine, but we're going to pray and God knows what you've written. So we don't necessarily know what they are. So our patients, a lot of them know what we're asking, know that we're praying. And so you can see behind me here, I don't know if your listeners can see it, all those butterflies are prayer requests that our patients have given us. And so they know that we're praying for them. They know that we're adjusting them. We're encouraging and educating parents about what's going on. We offer workshops here at our practice. And when it's necessary, we can refer them to other professionals who might be able to also assist. So those are the kinds of things that we do here to support them. Always, we always have an ear. If they can talk, we will listen, and we'll get them adjusted, because we believe that the adjustment is the thing that makes the biggest difference in their lives.
Yeah, that's very important. And also, it's very rare to meet up with, with someone who deals with when it comes to rewiring the brain and in terms of the science things, in terms of the medicine and being a believer. Because I've seen how people have this, they have this ego that, no, I don't believe in God. This is what science, not God. So I joined this meeting, I prayed about this. I prayed before this conversation that God should be part of this conversation and not be me that is asking the questions, but God, because I believe God, in a way, I would say that has became a firm believer this year, because back then I was going to church because I wanted to please my parents and also things like that. So now I am a firm believer to God by myself. I'm doing it for myself. And to say that,
that's great. I'm happy to hear that.
So yeah, I'm seeing that we are running out of time. Do you have anything to share with young? As most of this conversation was aligned to young people, so. What few do you have any words towards them, and when it comes to when they're feeling sad, when they're feeling unmotivated?
So I guess the most important thing that I would say there is that God created us to be self-healing, self-developing, self-maintaining beings. We are designed to be happy and joyful people. That's what God wants for us. And if we're not there, there's always hope that we can get there. And the way that we get there is through a variety of things. It's through prayer. And you yourself just talked about how important that is. I'm delighted to hear that you made the step this year, this past year, from going to church because it pleased your parents to going to church because you have a relationship with God. And that's so very important. So reaching out to God, reaching out to other people and saying, I need help. I don't feel good and I need help, but I know there's hope to get to the other side of that depression. And so my biggest thing is there is hope. Keep asking questions and keep looking for answers because they're out there. And then recognizing that when we are in some sort of depression, in some sort of anxiety, in some sort of mental health situation, there are answers. It's not who we're meant to be, and we can get to the other side. So getting chiropractic care, getting to some sort of therapy to start figuring out why are you there and how can you get to the other side of that is a start. Getting up and moving, those are all good things. Serving other people. When you give to somebody else, you're going to feel better about yourself. But the most important thing for the young people to understand is they're not alone. There are so many people that are feeling the same way they are and have gotten to the other side and feel better. So just have that hope and keep searching.